Good morning, everyone. Today, for a little while, I'd like to talk about the most important book that there is in the world today, and that's our Bible. I'd like to bring out some thoughts that have to do with how people interact with that today, some of the problems that are caused from it, and some of the great things that that are said about it. This is probably the most popular book, especially to Christian people, the most influential book for those who use it, yet it's the worst, the world's most misunderstood book. Why is it misunderstood? Probably a lot because of man's ideas. Man puts his own ideas in it. Man interprets it the way he wants to be interpreted and so on. We're going to look at some of the reasons for that. Many people misunderstand the whole Bible, and this is usually people of the world. They misunderstand its source. They think it's just a human book that's poked off on the world, a book that's put on the world as a fraud. But the Bible is the inspired message of God. Now these are verses, this next set of verses in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, I'll be referring to several times. We'll probably just read it once. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 talks about it being the inspired message of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's pretty clear that God puts all Scripture in there to for our profitability, for what we need to know, for correction, reproof, for instruction, and righteousness, so that we can have everything we need. If we just look into it and we study it and realize what it's saying, it can help us a lot in our lives today. If we don't, we're going to have a lot of problems. Some people misunderstand the purpose of the Bible. They think it's just a fable. But as we just read, it's there to furnish man into every good work. Now, this is very reasonable because if there is a God, and we all know that there is, then it's reasonable that he would give us, or mankind, a message of guidance and hope. Some people misunderstand that the Bible cannot be taken away. It is not indestructible. It is not destructible, excuse me. Many have tried to vanish the Bible in the past. They misunderstand it's controlled by God. One of the reasons that the Bible could not be destroyed, if it was all taken away, it could be reproduced from thousands and thousands of other books that quote it. And if this wasn't possible to save it in this manner, it says in a few verses I'd like to read that it is always going to be there, and it will judge us at the end of time. In Mark 13 and 31, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." John 12 and 48 says, "He that rejecteth me and rejecteth not my words hath one that judgeth him." Excuse me, "and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And Revelations 20 and 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works," according to how they listened to the Bible. Many people have a misunderstanding of the Old and New Testaments. So for that reason, they're just as apt to go to Psalms as they are to Acts to find out about salvation, because they don't understand the difference, and they don't understand, and they probably don't read it and try to study like they should. By doing this and by having this philosophy, it's the beginning of a lot of errors and a lot of problems. We now live under the reign of the New Testament and the rule of the New Testament. The law of Moses was the rule and the reign until Christ came. But we find that Jesus nailed it to the cross. Colossians 2 and 14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. When Jesus came, the old law, the Mosaical law, was done away, and now we're under the New Testament law. A lot of people don't understand that, possibly because they're not taught that, and they don't study about that. Today we listen to Christ and we listen to his teachings. In Hebrews 10 and 9 it says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The new one is established. That's the law that we are currently under, the New Testament. Many people of the world misunderstand the books of the Bible. The Old Testament, as we know, points a lot forward to Christ's coming. And the Mosaical law, we know, as a schoolmaster to us, to prepare us for Christ. In Galatians 3 and 24, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The New Testament points backward to Christ having come. The New Testament books, they talk about Christ coming, talk about Christ dying on the cross. The Gospels are books of evidence to create our faith in Christ. That's the reason for the Gospels, to show people about Christ and how he's born and how he lived and how he died and how his life was. And the whole New Testament talks about how Christ saves us through his death. In John 20, 30 and 31, and it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So there's a lot of things that aren't even written in the Bible, just the main important things. There were so many other things that were done, and Jesus did in the presence of his disciples. But they were all done so that we might believe in Christ. That's the reason for the Gospels. The epistles that were to individuals and churches were given to instruct Christians. In Revelation, man's given a glimpse to the things that are coming in the future and the things of the history that have come already. Many people think that Revelations is all in the future, whereas a lot of it's already happened and applies to history. But some of it is to come. Many people misunderstand the chapters of the Bible. They think it came from God, and God just set it up, and that's the way it is. What they don't understand is that man is who arranged the chapters of the Bible. And the break for chapters sometimes causes confusion, misunderstanding, if you don't take the Bible as a whole, because it breaks the thought. For example, some think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 that were assembled during the day of Pentecost, and that's found in Acts, the second chapter. But in Acts, the first and the 22nd verse, first and 26th verse of chapter 1, it starts talking about the disciples being there, and then it goes right into it. And if you put that with the next verse in Acts, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse to 13, you see that if that's put with it, you see that it was done on the apostles, and that the Holy Spirit came upon them. So there can be confusion by man's changing or breaking of certain parts of the Bible. So you must always be careful as you take it as a whole and try to get the whole thought. So it's very important, and man can obviously mess up, and that's what it's basically saying here. So many people misunderstand the verses of the Bible. Again, they think that they were put into exactly the way they're supposed to be by God, but again, they were broken down by man. Many people in the world expect too much just from one verse, or they use one verse to apply to salvation. They expect to get the whole plan of salvation from one verse. But there's no one verse in the Bible that gives the whole salvation plan. Examples of this, of those people that misunderstand, is there's many who say, just ask Jesus to come into your heart and you'll be saved. That's just taking a very small portion of salvation. Or the people who say, once saved, always saved. If you just take one specific verses or parts of verses, then that's pretty easy to try to go on that. But you can't just take one verse. You have to take, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, you have to take all the scriptures together and not just one in particular for the plan of salvation. You must look through the whole Bible and study the whole Bible. Many people misunderstand the phrases of the Bible. They misunderstand simple phrases like, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, in Mark 16 and 16. And what they try to do is to get salvation before baptism. And that's not important, as important as it really is. They misunderstand Acts 2:38, where it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. They try to get the remission of sins before baptism. But repentance and baptism are joined together by the and, which is called a copulative conjunction, and it couples words and phrases together. And means both of these. Repentance and baptism do give you remission of sins. So repentance and baptism are for the same purpose. Also, some people misunderstand the word for in this verse. They say it means because of. Be baptized because of remission of sins. However, it does mean in Acts 2:38 what it means in Matthew 6 or 26 and 28, where it says the blood was shed for remission of sins. Not that Jesus shed his blood because our sins were already remitted or taken away. Many people misunderstand the words of the Bible, such as repentance and baptism, as we just talked about. Repentance means much more than reformation. It's also related to godly sorrow for sin. It talks about this in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So it's related to godly sorrow for sin. Now the dictionary defines baptism as sprinkling, pouring, and immersion. It has a purpose. The dictionary gives you every form that it's used in. So sometimes people think that it's sprinkling or pouring and not immersion. But that really doesn't have any bearing on what the true meaning is. The true meaning is of the word is to dip or immerse. We find this in 1 John 3 and 23, where it's talking about the example of John. And John, it says, and John was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. And also in Romans 6, 3 and 4, it says, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. True plan of salvation is talking about total immersion and not sprinkling, as pouring, as some of the world think. You have to take the Bible as a whole to get the true meaning. How important is it to know what God's Word says to us? It talks about this in Matthew 22 and 29. Matthew 22 and 29. And it says, Jesus answered and said to them, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. If you don't know the Scriptures, there's going to be total confusion. And if you just listen to a person who just preaches to you, let them do all the work for you, you're probably not going to know the true meaning of what's in there. You have to be very careful on that. It's very important, as it says here in this verse and other verses. Also, 2 Timothy 2:15 is a very familiar verse to us, where it tells us to study to show ourselves approved to God, so that we will not be ashamed, and that we rightly divide the word of truth. That's so important to God, that we rightly divide the word of truth. God wants us to understand what His will is. He wants us to know how to live for Him, so that we can make it to heaven. That's our whole goal. Because if we don't know how, and if we just assume things, and if we don't study, we're probably not going to have the whole story of how that we need to make it to heaven and what we need to do. This other part of it I'd like to read from this book I have. It has some sayings and thoughts on the Bible that are good. And the first one is, the most desirable time to read the Bible is as often as possible. As often as possible. Second part says, know the Bible in your mind, keep it in your heart, live it in your life, share it in the world. If you do these things, you're going to be a very happy person. And you're going to convert others. Next part I'd like to talk about is entitled The Bible's First Aid Kit. And you probably have to look up these verses. It doesn't go into detail on them, but it just tells you some verses to look up when you're feeling a little blue, when you need some first aid. The Bible First Aid Kit. If you find yourself in sudden trouble or sorrow, apply instantly Hebrews 12:5-11, and saturate your heart in Psalms, the 23rd chapter. If you have slipped down and hurt yourself, Psalms 91 will be found to greatly benefit you. When that lonely feeling steals over your heart, a good stimulant will be found in Matthew 11:28-30. Should you be suffering from loss of memory and cannot call to mind your blessings, try a good dose of Psalm 103. In time of failing strength, encourage two or three applications of John 5:13-15 will be found beneficial. Whenever you find that bitter taste in your mouth and cannot speak lovingly of others, take a good draught. My page messed up here. Take a good draught of 1 Corinthians 13 and Psalms 34, 12, and 13. And some days, when your faith is weak, try the tonic that's found in Hebrews 11. I think a good point of this particular thing is the Bible gives us first aid kit to help us in situations that we're in. If we look up certain passages, it's going to help us. It's going to strengthen us, and it's going to get us through that particular time in our life. In closing, I'd like to read this last part. I think it's really good. And it says, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers, contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's charter, a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, its decisions are immutable. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, the glory of God its end. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. It's given to you in life. It will be opened at the judgment and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. It is the word of our God, which shall stand forever. There's many great things that can be brought about, out about our Bible. Unfortunately, it's so misunderstood by those around us. There's probably going to be times in our lives where someone's going to say a particular thing or make a statement or ask a particular question where we might have an opportunity to help them to not misunderstand what's being said in the Bible. It's so important that we read, study it, and try to do what it says and ask for forgiveness when we don't. It's the most important Bible out there, but unfortunately it's misunderstood and mistaken by so many in our world today. And if we have the opportunity, I hope that we'll try to help them in that. That's our way of maybe bringing them to Christ. This time we're going to offer the gospel invitation to anyone who has not become a part of Christ Church. If you would like to take the steps of salvation and to make yourself right and to become a child of God and to be a part of the fold, we're going to give you that opportunity to do that and be baptized and have your sins washed away. Or if you have done something you'd like to, that may have become public, you'd like to bring forward at this time that to make that right for yourself, or if you like to place membership, or if we can help you in any way, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation number.